The parable of Jesus talking about four different types of soil. It took us about nine or ten weeks just to get to good soil. And this week it'll be the third week that we talk about good soil. And the good soil, when we started talking about good soil, we really saw that there was attributes of good soil that produced a harvest, that the Word of God would go in seed form and it would produce something in our lives. And so we started by saying, what is the good ground of prayer in our lives? And we started with, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I asked Jimmy, and I'm going to tell the ushers there, they know that I really have sensed a need to start preaching even 15 minutes ago. But I knew the importance of our announcements and things. So I'm going to ask if the ushers will prepare baskets at the doors, and that way that we will, for the sake of time, be able to worship the Lord in our giving on our way out. But I've asked Jimmy, because I'm going to stay a couple of more weeks in the Lord's Prayer. So I asked Jim if he would just to sing the Lord's Prayer before I preach.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. You know, I started last week with the very first passage of that prayer. When Jesus calls his trusted disciples, his friends, and they are, you know, that family type of bonding happening. And he says, this is how you should pray, Our Father. Can you imagine the information that he was providing to them? That my heavenly Father, you know I'm the Son of God. You know I'm the Messiah. And my Father, through me, is going to become your Father. And you can invoke the same privilege that I invoke. You can invoke family privilege by declaring that the Father's eye is always upon you. That you are his sons and daughters through adoption. You are heirs and joint heirs. So the power and the authority of that first couple of words in that statement, Our Father. Do you realize that the King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God Almighty is our Father? And then it says, Hallowed be thy name. And it's one of those moments where I was teaching last week where I believe that sometimes we have become so casual with God that we have tried to make the supernatural God natural so we could understand Him. And so we have come in casual and We've always almost made it sound like God's our not just another person, like our neighbor that lives across the street. He's the God of the universe. And I don't want to get off to a bad start, but I want you to understand that God is sovereign and He is supernatural. And He cannot be made into the form of man. He made us in His likeness and in His image. And this is one of the facts that you need to know about God. The way you feel doesn't diminish Him from being God at all. Because some people in the world, they're mad at God. And they almost act like God's really nervous about that point. Like, oh my goodness, God, you know, I don't have enough people liking me. So I don't have enough Facebook likes or friend requests. So I need to do something about it. See, if that was the God that we served, he would be subservient to your will, not His will. And He is not one to be bound by the popularity of people, but He is one to be garnered in worship and praise by His people. Can somebody say amen? I've had a lot of people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm mad at God. Like they think that He cares. Like I've revoked my membership. Okay. That's a bad thing to do. I've decided I don't want to go to heaven. Yeah, that don't even sound good. You know, hallowed be His name. And what I have feared is that we as a church body in the earth today, we have now kind of fallen prey to the temptation of Genesis chapter 6, where the people that had gathered together had unified, and unity is always a good thing because you can accomplish great things through unity. And they decided to build a skyscraper up into the heavens. And this is what really scares me the most is not only did they want to build a monument unto the work of man's hands, but they said, let's make a name for ourselves. And see, sometimes I think I pastor one of the greatest churches in all of the world. But let me just be honest with you. We're not here to build the reputation of CityGate because CityGate cannot heal. CityGate cannot redeem. CityGate cannot forgive sin. CityGate cannot bring the broken and make them whole in the presence of CityGate. Nor can a gifted group of musicians and singers. The song in itself has no authority and no power. But the one they sing about brings all the power you need. There is, now, I'm just getting warmed up. I knew I was crunched for time. Does not matter. I am a fan of Francis Chan. I love his ministry. I love his heart. I love his outreaches. But I cannot, the Francis Chan's name cannot liberate anybody. Nor could any other person filling in the blank of that position. It is not by a preacher, even David Pleasant, that can absolve anybody from their responsibilities of their sin. But there is a name that is above every other name. And if we hallow that name instead of trying to build up the reputation of all of those other names. See, people in the earth today want to know, why has the church lost its power? We're more concerned about the other names than we are His name. But if we bring Him back into the house, He will start to manifest in a way that shows His strength. Amen? Because that gets us right to the next passage. Thy kingdom come. See, in thy kingdom come, to truly honor and give glory to the name of God, it is dependent for the kingdom of God to come. Come where? You know, there's the prayer. Thy kingdom come. Come where? To you and to me and to the earth. See, if God's kingdom always remains somewhere up there, if it remains somewhere beyond the stars, it's almost like the song from The Wizard of Oz, somewhere over the rainbow. That's kind of how we visualize. That was good stuff right there. That was on tune and everything. You know the Holy Spirit is here now. But if heaven's always way up there and the kingdom of God is always seemingly over there, then I'm dealing with the issues that I'm walking through, and you're dealing with the issues that you're walking through here. And if the kingdom of God is always over there, how are we going to get through what we are going through here? But if the kingdom is to come, if the kingdom comes to us and in turn us go into the world, then all of a sudden we are bringing the presence of heaven to earth. And I believe God can do some wonderful things. Can somebody again say amen? See, the Bible is clear in Matthew chapter 12 that there are kingdoms warring against each other. Matter of fact, sometimes that we don't want to give credit, nor do I, to the devil. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 25, said, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? See, even Jesus, if you're reading out of King James Version and many other versions, that passage that I just read was in red letters because Jesus was quoting it. He was saying it. And he was declaring that Satan has a kingdom. And it is at war and conflict with the kingdom of God. And there is good versus evil. There is light versus darkness. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is good and evil trying to vie for the position of authority in the earth. See, the biggest thing that I think the enemy has going for him is he's probably okay with you believing in God. Because everybody I talk to, saint or sinner, they say, I believe in God. Is that enough, Pastor? I believe in God. See, one of the things that he shrouds himself in is he's hopeful that you believe in God but don't believe in him. Because if the devil doesn't exist in your mind and in your heart, then you have no preparation for him. And you don't know where the attack is coming from when he is trying to suggest in your heart and in your mind some things that are contrary to the authority of God's word in your life. And those things where you get discouraged and you think about giving up on relationships and marriages and giving up on your walk of faith. And sometimes it's not just you thinking about, does this really even make a difference? I'll give you a hint. Even pastors, 1,800 of them resign every single year. Every month somebody says, you know what, I've had enough. I understand that. Yesterday I officiated a service for a 52-year-old lady that her daughter is here today, and we honored her mother well, and she was a pillar of strength as she ministered unto her family. And there were four or five hands at the end of that service that raised their hand and said, I want to get saved today. Amen. But sometimes when you're standing in front of a group of people that are mourning the loss of a family member at 52... those are those moments you think, how much gas I got? How far can I get away? But it is in those moments where the enemy comes in and starts to plant things in your heart and in your mind that says, hey, you ain't making any difference. Why do this? Why share your life? Why keep going? It is because the authority of the kingdom needs to come to the earth. And if we don't believe that he exists, then how are we going to combat and prepare for the enemy? If Jesus says there's a war between good, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, don't we think that we need to pick a side? All of a sudden, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, the real issue with kingdom principles is none of us probably have ever lived in a kingdom. See, we have heritage and roots. You know, we actually became a country because we were fighting the tyranny or the dictatorship of a king. And so we wanted to live differently where every voice... See, the problem with a kingdom is the king has the most significant, the most important, and the loudest voice of all. That's the problem with a kingdom. Is the king could say, hey, I want to go this way. And you know what? The army has to go that way. I want to go that way. And I got to go this. That's why the people in the Bible were really, really afraid to go face a king, especially if they had bad news. Because if you had bad news, the king could just say, I don't like that news. Kill him. And they'd kill him. Because the authority of the king, his voice carried the most weight. I'm asking you, I'm going to stop here for a moment and ask, who has the most authority in who's got the loudest voice in the kingdom of your life? You? our God. See, the problem with a king is that we have to submit to the kingdom dynamics of having lordship over us, and that that king has authority over us. And for his kingdom to come, what we have to understand is we are used to a democracy where every voice is just as important and just as loud. And I don't want to preach against, the political systems of the world, but I am here to tell you, I am not going to trust my life, my children's life, and the life of you and the people under my care to the symbol of a donkey or the symbol of an elephant. But I will take it to the Lamb of the Lion of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. I will take it to the one that is above all. See, you are looking for a kingdom that is of the natural realm, but the kingdom that is to come is one that has the divine authority of the king, and his voice matters the most. Amen? Amen. See, kingdoms expand. I'm going to give you an earthly example. There are very few armies in the world that ever ruled the world. The Roman Empire was one of those empires. And so the Roman Empire would go and they would conquer the land. And as they conquered the land, the army would keep going because they were trying to conquer more lands. Do you know what they would do when the battle was concluded and the dust had settled? The army started traveling. A few soldiers would stay, and the government of Rome would send out these people called, get this, apostles. Yep, we stole their word. Apostles. And you know what the job of those apostles were? They were literally, in its base form, apostle means sent one. And you know what they would be sent to tell the people? There is a benefit by what just happened. I know it goes against everything that you think and everything that was down in your heart that you've learned since the time you were born. But there is something that you need to know. There's a benefit to being Roman, because Roman is the strongest army in the world, and we're now going to protect you because you are now becoming a citizen of Rome. I want you to know that we have not only a monarchy with Caesar having the voice, but we also have a Senate that gives people a representation. We're going to build roads for you. We're going to have education for your children. You are going to be better off being Roman than you've ever been in your entire life. And you know what? They convinced them. I wonder what would happen if the church stood up and started acting like the Roman apostles, that looked, instead of going with the sound of judgmental attitudes and hard hearts, and said, wait a minute, I know that you just prayed a prayer and you still got some rough edges, and you still, I love City Gate. There's not a Sunday that goes by. I love City Gate, and I don't mean to diminish this, but I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. We're kind of raw here at City Gate, and on a regular occasion, I get out there in the courtyard and somebody says, Pastor, that was the best beep sermon I've ever heard. I say, thank you. See, that's City Gate, man. And you have to understand, Pastor, are you telling them to keep talking that way? No, but it's better for me to go with love and say, hey, it's better being a Christian. Keep talking the way you're talking until Jesus gets a little closer, and you'll find out he'll start changing your attitude and your language, and you'll start producing the righteousness of the King in you. Amen. No, too many churches over there tell them, hey, don't you curse. I learned this week history changed because somebody cursed in a prayer. That General Patton, he was known to curse during the times that he prayed, and that he called for a chaplain. And when he called for a chaplain, he used some colorful words and said, I can't invade on D-Day because he was going to invade and take his division and invade Germany. And he couldn't do it because the weather wouldn't permit it. And he got that chaplain up there, and him and that chaplain took a card, a Christmas card, turned it over, and wrote a prayer, prayed, the clouds were moved, the weather passed, and we went in and invaded, and victory was brought because somebody decided to exercise the authority of the kingdom on the earth and declare that the name that is above every other name can still control the rain and the wind. Amen. See, I want to ask you, the reason that the Romans didn't have to fight multiple different times and places is because they convinced the people it was better off being Roman than who they once were. Do we as the church ever convince somebody that the kingdom of God is better than their kingdom? And do you really believe that the kingdom of God is better for you than what you have planned for you? See, the Bible says in Romans, it says, for the kingdom of God is a matter of eating and not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, right standing with God is what's meant by righteousness. It means that I could not, nor should I, ever try to accomplish my position with God through my behavior, because my behavior can never measure up to the holiness of God. But if I surrender and submit to the one that went before me, that really could live perfect, his name was Jesus, the Son of God, that made me an heir and joint heir with him in the sight of God the Father. And when I go to pray to him as our Father, I don't stand in my righteousness or my behavior, because my behavior and righteousness according to Scripture is as a filthy rag. But I put on the protection of his perfection and his right standing, and he brings me into position and says, this is where sons stand. Man, I'm about to shout on that thing. He says, stand right here, because this is where sons stand. You don't have to come as a slave. You don't have to come as somebody conquered. You're coming through the surrender of submission that produces humility, that you now have grace with the Father, that you can stand here and make your petitions known, because that positional righteousness allows me to have peace in my heart. I can't be not saved. That's good stuff right there. The enemy comes and taunts people every single day. You better say you forgive. And if you want to ask God to forgive you every day, God bless you. That's a good heart. Ask him. I probably need to every day. But I didn't become a less of a son because I had a bad thought. And I didn't become less of a son because, you know what, I didn't measure up today. I stand at peace with who I am in Christ because of the position of the righteousness bestowed upon me by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand at peace knowing that I am a son and an heir of the kingdom. And that produces joy in the Holy Spirit. And joy is not just happiness, because James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James is saying, when you're going through hell, have some joy. Why? The king, he sees everything, and he knows where I am, and he knows who I am, because the Bible declares that he knows the hair on my head. I don't care. You ever thought, ask yourself this, God knows the hair on your head. Anybody ever really wondered, got up there one day and said, you know what, how many hairs do I got? I'm a nervous wreck, man. I don't know how many hair I got. I'm telling you, I'm down to two hands. I'm getting more and more nervous about it because it doesn't take a lot of sovereignty to count mine. But what he wanted you to know is that he knew you in such detail that he knows you better than you know you. And you have the eye and the ear and the hand of an almighty God that is responding to you through kingdom dynamics, that you're in position of a son and an heir, and you have the authority of the kingdom living in you, empowered by the Holy Spirit. How did I get in the kingdom? Jesus told Nicodemus, you got in there by being born again. Moved upon by the power of the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here's where we got to go. Somebody get ready to play me something. I have some more stuff here to teach. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whose will are we talking about? The King, God. We need God's will to be made manifest in the earth as it is in heaven. The will of God, then, is a phrase that taken by itself may express either what God has purpose to do, or what he has commanded to be done by us. That means God has a will that he wants to perform on the earth that is his responsibility. But he also has a will for you that is to be commanded by the king, for you to live in the parameters of that command, and for you to fulfill the divine call that's on your life to reflect the glory of God. Now here we go. I think that we probably ought to begin to pray about the will of God like this. Father, let your will be revealed to me. Let it be completed in me. and let it be performed by me. You can play something, Dave, when you get ready. I've got two more little things to say, and it's only 10 after 12. I want to concentrate just for a moment on the difference between heaven and earth. See, when you think about the earth, most of us will think in the terms of the chaos of the earth. We live in one of the most blessed lands in all of the world. And most of us have more than enough. But today, the earth, where you will go and probably go to a restaurant or go home and fix your meal, there are people that will die today of hunger. And you know what? The people that know, the scientists, they say that there's enough natural resources to feed everybody on earth, but still there's people dying today of hunger, mainly because of selfishness. We think in terms of famine, hunger, strife, war. We think of sickness, poverty, injustices, just to name a few of the illnesses that plague the earth. But when you think of heaven, you don't think about any of those things. You don't think about, oh man, wonder if there's a famine in heaven. Oh man, wonder if there's, you know, what's going to happen when I get to heaven? Am I going to get sick? You know, am I going to starve to death in heaven? What's going to happen to me? We don't think in terms like that. We think heaven's this wonderful place that God has prepared for us. And we quote scripture that says, there'll be no tear in heaven. There'll be no dying. There'll be none of this stuff. And we think in that in terms of heaven. Why? What's the difference? Because you in your mind think that he is ruler or king of heaven. But we've not yet determined whether he's king of the earth. See, we have confidence that we can get to heaven. If we ever get to heaven, we're going to make it. I'm here to tell you, friend, you may never come back to this church, but you'll remember this for all of your days. You didn't get saved for heaven. You got heaven's icing on the cake. You got saved to have Jesus right now. A relationship with him right now. So he tells us, now get this, because it should just about make you want to shout. He said, you can pray this way. Our Father. Yep, same daddy I got. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Let's reverence and awe the name of the God that is beyond anything that we can compare him to. He is not natural. He does not need to be your friend. But he is a supernatural moving God with the universe in the palm of his hand. And then he says, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God of heaven, the King of heaven, he's saying, bring him to earth. Bring the glory of heaven to earth. How do we do that? By being the representation of who he is on the earth. That we should go in there and you realize that God has equipped us to meet some of the needs that the earth is failing in positions of. I heard testimony this week of two guys that are older than I am. I ain't going to tell you how old. One's got cancer, man. He was all the way up, I think, in Missouri. He was in a MRI machine. And he was a little nervous, so they gave him a little something. And they said, hey, you want some headphones? He said, yeah, I'll take some headphones. I'm a little nervous. He put some headphones on. This is Rick Knight. He told me I could share this. He said, Pastor, while I've been battling cancer, my eye has developed an infection. And it is severe. And they didn't know if I was going to have my sight. And it has caused a gland to be visible in my eye. It's a mess. And he said, but they said, hey, let's don't deal with that. Let's deal with the more impressing thing. So they had him in this thing. And he had headphones on. And in his ears, he heard a song. He said, I want some easy listening. And the song that he heard reminded him of his mother that has gone on to heaven. And he began to cry. And he said, Pastor, I was stuck in this machine. I couldn't wipe my eyes. And he said, I was trying to squint. And he said, you know how you look through a kaleidoscope? He said, I saw this light, and then I saw a man. And he said, that man touched my eye, and by the next day, I didn't have any infection in my eye anymore. Then I got to church today, and one of our ushers in first service, now he is north of 80, I think, and he's had some struggles with his vision, and they've really tried to rescue his vision from him going blind. He said, "Pastor, you won't believe it." He said, "I went to the eye doctor," and I'm expecting him to say, "Man, they told me I got like 3 more months to see." He said, "I got in there and the doctor looked in my eye and he looked me right in the face and said, 'Hey, there's a miracle happening. Your cornea, on one position of your cornea, is starting to regenerate the damage on the other end of the cornea, and it's nothing more than a miracle.'" See, because something can happen when the kingdom of heaven leaves the realm of being way over there and it comes to where we are right here and right now. So whatever you have need of, the God of the universe has invited you to this spot on this day in this place to meet in fellowship with Him. And if it requires a miracle, He is supernatural. But who's going to be the king of your life? Let's stand to our feet. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Who needs to change seats with God? Who needs to get off the throne of their own life and allow Him to have lordship over their lives? To really believe and grab hold of the concept that His kingdom is better than yours and mine. I have tried before I got saved to control my life, and to be honest with you, I've tried at times after I've gotten saved to control my life. And each and every time it goes beyond and I find the end of myself. And I have to say, God, forgive me, but would you please get back on the throne and become the king of the kingdom, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, in and through my life. Will you join me in a prayer? Father, let your will be revealed in me. Or, Father, let your will be revealed to me. Let it be completed in me and let it be performed by me. Can we just pray together that right now? Father, as we pray, we ask that your will be revealed to me. Let it be completed in me and let it be performed by me. Let me be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go on your behalf and bring your kingdom to earth. I have no power within myself, but I will go in the authority of the Father. And I will stand in awe of who you are. Can we just give Him praise for just a moment? Come on, let's give Him praise. You say, why praise? Let me have one more minute of your time. Because I want this place really to do something that needs to honor God. When the king comes, most of the time the kings of the earth want all of the riches. But he already has all of the riches. He has the thrones of gold and wrapped with a rainbow in heaven. But you know what? When he comes to the earth, he says, "I'd rather not sit on thrones of gold, but I'd rather sit on the praises of my people. I'd rather be indwelled in the fellowship of those that recognize the authority of who I am. And they are opening up their hearts and pouring out to me who I really am in their life." So can we build a throne? Because I believe if we build the throne, while you're clapping, while you're praising, somebody sick next to you may get healed because there's healing in the presence of the King. So can we just lift up our voice and declare the honor of the King? It is you in which we live and breathe and have our being. Father, if they need to be saved, save them right now, just by the fellowship of being in connection with the King. If they need healed, let them be healed right now as they are walking in fellowship of the King. Go as ambassadors, apostles, into the earth, declaring the glory of God. I just got checked in my spirit. Will you bow your heads with me? If somebody wants to get saved today and come into the knowledge and surrender their life to the authority of the King, would you raise your hand today and allow me to pray with you? Is there any? Thank you for those hands. Father, you saw the hands before we dismissed, and I almost neglected the fact that sometimes we need to stop long enough to allow you to sit on the throne of the lives of the people that have surrendered their will to you. Father, you saw every hand in this congregation that went up. Father, right now as they are acknowledging their sin, again, they're not made right because of their behavior. They're made right because of your behavior. You were perfect and sinless and spilt your blood that we might have redemption and grace. So, Father, we accept that price of Jesus Christ, and we will honor that price by changing the way we live. We will never live the same because you are now the Lord of our lives. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. One more time, let's put our hands together and give God praise. Go be good ground. Let the kingdom of God come to earth through you. God bless you. Have a great weekend.